Let's open your Bible. Open the Bible to Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27, and we will start. Last two Sundays, we looked into the Ark of a Covenant and other furniture inside of Holy of Holies and the Holy Place within the tabernacle. Last week, we learned about the coverings of the tabernacle and the structure. And we also learned that all of them pointing to the one person, our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we are going to examine the courtyard of the tabernacle and the altar. Here, the priest met the people who came to offer sacrifices, and they examined those animals and the grains carefully, making sure that they are without blemish and they are acceptable. The worshippers would put his hands on the animal's head, symbolically transferring their sins into the animal, and that animal died on behalf of them. And by doing so, and their sins are forgiven for a short time. Of course, that animal put on the altar of burnt offering, according to regulation from the Leviticus chapter 1 through 7. Before we go into the chapter 27 of Exodus, let's stop and pray. Father, as we sang, we are no longer a slave, not because of what we have or what we can boast about, but simply because, plain and simple fact, our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. No other reason. Because of his atoning sacrifice, we can say, we are no longer the slaves of the Satan and this dying world. But we are children of God. We are blessed slaves of God Almighty. Father, we also know that as your word says, all of our righteousness is like a filthy rags. There's nothing we can boast about. But you, Lord, you enthroned upon the praises of your people. You are holy and mighty God who was and is to come. Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning. Speak in such a way that you penetrate our heart. Make a connections with some of the spot that we didn't understand. This Old Testament is not some old story. It's very much relevant to our lives. And also, Father, we ask you to speak to us that what this all the stuff that mentioned in the tabernacle is about. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand. Father, we pray that your anointing to be upon our heart, that so that we may understand your word and your truth. And your anointing to be upon the one who speaks, that he may speak your word only. Father, we pray against this COVID virus to be removed from the face of the earth. And Father, more and more I see a lot of things going wrong with the Biden's administration, especially in the abortion. They are willing to pay other countries to kill babies in the name of convenience. Father, we pray that they may come to know Christ. They may stop doing things that displease you, but only do the things what is right in your sight. Father, we pray for our uniformed personnel, those who protect us, those who risk their lives for us, our troops, especially the one in the harm's way. We haven't forgotten them about them. And law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. One of the police officers got injured last week. Father, we pray that he may have a complete healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 27 of Exodus, verse 1, please. You shall make an altar of acacia with 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make it its horns on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be in one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Also, you shall make its pan to receive its ashes and shovels and its basins and the forks and the fire pan. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make a crate for it, a network of bronze. On the network you shall make the four bronze ring at its four corners. You shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath, that the network may be midway up the altar. And you shall make a poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with the bronze. The pole shall be put in the rings, and the pole shall be on the two sides of the altar to bear it. Verse 8, you shall make it hollow with the boards, as it was shown you on the mountain, and you, so shall they make it. Stop there, please. There's a picture of the altar. This is the altar of a burnt offering. As you walk into the tabernacle, you will see this first thing. It's located in the outer court, and it was made of, as we read, an acacia wood overlaid with bronze. It's 4.5 feet high and 7.5 feet width and length. The wood is biblically mentioned that it represents the humanity, as I mentioned before. Acacia wood is strong against the pest and does not rot, signify the humanity without sin. There's only one person who is without sin, that's Jesus. Bronze in the Bible speaks of God's judgment, particularly his judgment over our rebellious thoughts and words against him. Since the wood overlaid with the bronze and all the altar of burnt offering remind us of the man under God's judgment for our rebellion against him. It speaks of Jesus without sin, bearing the judgment of God for us on the cross. Am I making sense? At the altar of burnt offering, priests sacrifice various offerings to God. Some offerings were for their own sin as well as for the sins of the people. Offering had to be without blemish, so it can be accepted by God. This foreshadows the Lord Jesus Christ, who was examined by the Pontius Pilate, and he declared, "I find no fault in him at all." The man without sin, man without blemish against God. The blood of the offering was poured out around the base of the altar and foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember at the crucifixion, Roman soldiers used the spear and stabbed in the heart and the side. That spearhead penetrated into his heart that no longer moving, and the water and the blood came forth. This blood around the altar is signifying that. I'm sure that if we were able to be there, it would be quite bloody and gory. I don't know any of you been into the slaughterhouse. It's not pretty sight. Somehow, when we see this offering, we sanitize all of that. It is not. It's bloody and gory. Do you remember the smell of blood? It's a distinctive smell, right? Think about it. You stand in front of the altar and you brought your bull. And the priest will cut the throat of the bull right in front of you. Of course, the animal is kicking and screaming while he's dying. And they cut the animal in pieces. And blood is squirting all over, spilling all over. And put the meat on the top of the altar and burn it. Did that gross you out? Okay. You guys want to have a macaroni salad? That is what it's like. Our sin, listen carefully please, our sin have a consequence. Somebody had to die, but animal died on our behalf in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Jesus died on our behalf. I'm sure this kind of thing would not fly well with the animal rights group in the 21st century. According to the righteous requirement of the law, people should die for their sins. However, if the animal offering died, then that is atonement for our soul, for their soul for 1 year, according to Old Testament laws. But Jesus became our atoning sacrifice for once and for all. After animal's blood was poured out, burnt offering was entirely consumed by burning. The only product being left behind is ashes and aroma. How many of you guys, you go out and check the mail and all of a sudden you smell somebody's doing barbecuing? And you're thinking, okay, two for dinner. You're coming over, right? Can you imagine that smell of meat burning constantly? It is the sacrifice done for you, for me, if we are the Old Testament Jewish people. And there was a sweet smelling aroma to God. Keep your finger in there and go to the Exodus, Ephesians chapter 5, please. Right before Philippians in New Testament and right after the book of Galatians. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, please. It reads, "And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." The sin must be settled in the outer court before you go into the tabernacle. And someone and something has to die and the altar of burnt offering for him. Jesus is the burnt offering. By the way, what does it really mean, a burnt offering? It means everything is burned to crisp. Okay? There's nothing left behind. Complete consumption. Jesus was a total consumption for us, total sacrifice. Jesus was our burnt offering. It speaks of the cross of Christ and of the fact that he actually the one who died in man's place. Let's go to verse 9, please. "You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be the hangings of the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long, for one side, and 20 pillars, and their 20 sockets shall be bronze, and hooks of the pillars, and their bands, and they shall be silver. Likewise, along the length of the north side, there shall be hangings 100 cubits long, with its 20 pillars, and 20 sockets of bronze, and the hooks of the pillars, and their bands of silver. And along the width of the court of the west side shall be the hangings of the 50 cubits with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. With the court of the east on the east side shall be the 50 cubits. The hanging of the one side of the gate shall be the 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and 3 sockets. On the other side shall be the hanging of the 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and 3 sockets." Go down to verse 18, please. Same chapter. "The length of the court shall be on 100 cubits, and the width 50 throughout, and the height 5 cubits, made of the fine woven linen, and its sockets of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle for all its service, and all its pegs, all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze." Stop, please. If we could be in the wilderness, there are 2 million Israelites camped around. If we could see them, their tent is put together in much organized manner. Not like some refugee camp in Africa or the homeless camp in Los Angeles or even the Tucson area. And this Israeli camp tents are probably made out of in the color of dark gray or brown because they are using the animal skins. They did not have a nylon, of course. And it's a quite contrast against the sandy and rocky background of the desert. Here's the picture of a tabernacle replica. And it's located in the Timnah Valley in Israel, southern part of the Israel. In the center of their camp, you would see the white linen fence. That doesn't quite look like a white linen fence, but it is. White linen curtains fence and tabernacle outer court, about 150 feet long and 75 feet wide and 7.5 feet tall. It was so noticeable against the surrounding tents, the drab color, you know, grayish tone. It was quite a contrast. Tall white, fine twined linen curtain made a separation between the outside world and the beauty that contained within the tabernacle. Unless you are in an elevated position like this camera, in an elevated position, you cannot see the inside. Only thing you would see is a fence on top of the tabernacle and the curtain that is the entrance. Actually, as you can see, the tabernacle is a tent, movable structure. What it meant is that God wants the Israelites to know that, unlike other gods that demands, you come to me, you bring something to me, you do things for me, our God says, I come to you, I dwell with you, among you. Some of you guys remember John chapter 1. Jesus dwell among us, right? When you look at that word dwell, in Greek word, it's tabernacle. He tabernacled with us. He dwell with us. And what is the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us. God, this, our Christian God is not some God in the temple who would not come out and associate with you, but He is with us. The difference in between our God and other cult God, if they are true. In the Bible, white linen signifies righteousness and holiness according to the book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 8. I want you to take a look at it later. Therefore, the white linen curtains of the outer court remind us that we are separated from God due to our sin. Keep your finger there in Exodus again. Go to Isaiah chapter 64, our memory verse, please. Isaiah 64, verse 6. You there yet? We are all like the unclean things. All our righteousness are like a filthy rag. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. The fine white linen, the curtains of the outer court, is supported by the pillar that is at least 56 of them. Pillars was set in base socket of bronze and capped with the silver tops. Bronze cap, a bronze base socket symbolized God's judgment of those sins against Him according to Numbers 16:29-39. I want you to check for me, okay? Caps of the top of the pillar, the hooks and the band around the linen were made from the silver that symbolized the ransom price. Remember, I told you last week, silver represented redemption. And God placed on each of the children of Israel, and according to Exodus 30, 11 through 16. What's the idea of the having a bronze on the ground, and the pole, and the silver? Remember, when the man sinned against God, what happened to the ground? Any of you guys remember? Was cursed. And bronze represents judgment, attached, directly contact with the cursed ground. And then there's a wooden pole and the silver on the top, redemption. Am I making sense? God's sacrifice, I'm sorry, the last week, again, I talked about this. And when I talked about the coverings, there's a ramskin, the second layer after the embroidery, there's a lambskin. Ramskin. One of the most difficult things that I had to overcome in English was pronouncing R sound. R-Z-F. And sometimes I'm sure you noticed that I pronounce it with the L sound instead of R sound, right? Get over it. Put up with me. Okay, ramskin. And I talked about the Lamb of God, not Ram of God. Now I'm really confused. Then how do I make a connection? And I explained to you in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham took according to God's order, took his only son Isaac to the mount where he was told to go. And he was supposed to sacrifice his only begotten son. And he was about to do it. He raised his knife hand and about to strike him to kill his son and make a burnt offering out of him. What happened? God stopped him, right? And when Isaac asked him, "My father, we have a wood for the fire, but where is the lamb?" And the father answered, "God himself will provide the lamb," right? When God told him to stop Abraham, and then he untied him, and they both noticed ram caught in the thicket. Are you following me? So there is the connection between ram and the Lamb of God. And that's where the tabernacle is connected. But when the place they are told to go is, that place is Mount Moriah. Let's fast forward. Go to the 2 Chronicles 3:1. Tell us that the threshing floor of the Arunah that King David purchased for his sacrifice was Mount Moriah. Eventually became a place of the sacrifice and worship because it became a site for Solomon's temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 28 through chapter 22 verse 5. That Solomon's temple location is the same place where the Herod's temple is located. And now where the Dome of Rock is located, Temple Mount. If you stand in the Temple Mount and you can actually see the in direction to the Golgotha, it's only a few hundred yards away. Literally, a few hundred, between 250 to about 300 yards. And that's where the Jesus died according to chapter 27, verse 32. See how it's all connected? Where the Isaac's supposed to die is Mount Moriah, and King David purchased the land from Arunah, and that's where the Solomon's temple is located, and the Herod's temple, and the next to it, Golgotha. God sacrificed his own son, Jesus, the Lamb of God at the Calvary, as the final Passover lamb during the Feast of Passover, AD 33, in order to redeem the mankind, that is to buy back us from our sins. When we see the white curtains of the outer court, we are reminded that our sin have separated us from God, just like the curtains of outer court in righteousness of Christ, supported by his judgment of our sin and kept by his desire to redeem us, to bring us in and back to God, the unrighteous one. Am I making sense to you guys? Yes? No? Verse 16. I can tell somebody about to say no, but somebody poke him and say, "Shut up, he's going to start all over." For the gate of the court there shall be this screen 20 cubits long, woven in the blue, purple, scarlet thread and a fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have four pillars and four sockets, and all the pillars around the court shall have the band of silver. Their hooks shall be silver, and their socket of bronze. The door of the outer court is a large curtain made of the fine linen, colored blue, purple, as we read, blue, purple, red, and white. Curtain was supported by the wooden pillars, and the base on the brass socket, and silver band and hook on the top. And this door curtain was fastened to the pillars with a golden hook. Each color, remember last week I gave you the meaning of each color, right? Blue, purple, red, and white. I'm going to go over that again. But this time I'm going to connect those things to the four Gospels. There is a reason for it. First one, the blue indicate what? Heaven, exactly. And godliness point to the Gospel of John, which speaks of the Jesus as our God. Purple signifies royalty, which point the Gospel of Matthew, because in Matthew, he try hard to convince the Israeli people Jesus is the son of David, the lineage from the David, and as their king. Red signifies the blood of Jesus who was sacrificed for us. It points to the Gospel of Mark that speaks of Jesus as our atoning sacrifice. White signifies the holiness and humanity without sin. It points to the Gospel of Luke, which speaks of Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. These four Gospels are woven together, become one complete door, as the four Gospels combined give us a complete picture of Jesus. Stop there for a minute, please. How many of you guys like football? Watching football? You don't like football? Okay. Think about this. When you watch football, since I don't understand all the rules of the football, so I watch something else, like a camera angle, where is, how is it hooked up. We have a camera on the 50-yard line, and then we have one in the goalpost area, and we have one from the aerial view, right? And then there's a camera that runs back and forth on right above their head, wired, right? It follows the runners around. What does that give you, all these different cameras? It gives you a complete picture. Am I making sense? If there is a foul, they're going to go play back from the different angles. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Why do we have all four Gospels? First of all, because our head is dense, we don't get it right, so he had to tell us four times. Not only that, it gives us a complete picture of Jesus. Jesus as God, Jesus as a servant and atoning sacrifice in the book of Mark, and Jesus as a human in the book of Luke, and Jesus as God in John. It gives us a complete picture. Am I making sense to you guys? This four colors give us a complete picture of Jesus. He is a pure and righteous and king and godly, and this is how the human as a man can be our ransom, perfect man without sin, door for us to enter into the God's presence in the tabernacle. He is the door. And you may say, well, you just made up. No, I didn't made up. Go to John chapter 10, please. Verse 9. Jesus speaking, right? I am, what? The door. Anyone enter by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You guys know this by heart. John chapter 14 verse 6. I am the way. If you, okay, you guys know that. But the article is not I am a door or I am a way. The way. That means there's no other way. The door of outer court is the only way in, and yet it is inviting and attractive. The door speaks of both the compassion and the kingliness of Jesus and his nature as both God and genuine man without sin. By the way, have you ever thought about being a brother of Jesus? He's the perfect brother. He never does anything wrong while you're doing everything wrong against Mama Mary and Papa Joseph. While you're filing your horn like a devil, and there's a Jesus, his halo is shining. You cannot do anything right. And of course there's mom and dad is like looking at Jesus and looking at you. Like, yeah, that's gonna go well. Verse 20. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you the pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. Verse 21, in the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from the evening till morning before the Lord. It shall be the statue forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Of course, the oil speaks of what? The Holy Spirit. And the burning light speaks of Jesus Christ. Now, all of that is changed because the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. And he told us, you Born again Christians are the light. You are the salt. Then he never told us, you become a salt, you become light. He said, you are light and you are salt. There is a parenthesis. Act that way. We supposed to live the life as a light and salt. However, you and I do not make any light unless the Holy Spirit provide oil from him. Lord did not want us, the lamp of the tabernacle, to lose their light. To do that, they had to have continual supply of oil and trimming of the wicks to keep the light going. Same goes for us. We can only continue to be the light of this world if we have a continual supply of oil of the Holy Spirit and trimmed by him to bear the more light. He is more than happy and ready to provide us the oil that we need. It is up to us to come to the Holy Spirit. Two applications. Number one, the truth seekers would be rewarded to see and know the beauty of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Second application, we can only continue to be the light of this world if we have a continual supply of the oil of the Holy Spirit and trimmed by him to bear more light. Stop there for a minute. Did you notice what I wrote there? Trimmed by him to bear more light. What does it mean? Sometimes we go through a difficult time, and that's a part of a curriculum. Is it easy? No. Is it painful? Sometimes, very much. If you have a pain, whether it's a physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, that's a part of God's curriculum. You can reject, you can hate all of that, or you can embrace it and learn from it. It's your choice. So that we can bear more light. He is more than happy and ready to provide us the oil that we need. It is up to us. It is up to us to come to him. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.